do?
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Good to have you on board. Thanks for watching today. As always, on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our affiliates across the country. Follow the Money is brought to you by ProfitX, and right now you can compete to become the King of March and win free trips up to $10,000. All you have to do is download the ProfitX app and use the code VSINMM. Again, go get it today. Download the ProfitX app. The code you want to use there is VSINMM. More news today, day one, free agency in the National Football League. Not that long ago, the Atlanta Falcons have agreed on a one-year deal with quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. Paul, your reaction during the break sums it up when you said, what are they doing?
110-1 at DraftKings to win the Super Bowl. Win total opened 6.5, now 7.5 at most spots, under minus 150. I know they won a lot of games late with Cousins. They have so many weapons, the dink and dunk offense that he could run. But I think this goes back to, and I grew up a Cubs fan and used to watch every game on WGN with Harry Carey. And Harry Carey used to always say this, that he would become infatuated by a guy who was always a Cubs killer. And then some guys look at this and were like, wow, he always beats us. Maybe we should sign him and get us on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it never works out. He just happens to own that particular team that he goes against. Guy that Harry would always talk about was Mark Kerryon. And he would kill the Cubs. But remember what happened when Atlanta was coming off a big win and were playing good ball. The Dolphins came reeling in. It's horrible form. And they went into Atlanta and blasted them.
Killed them. The game was over with at halftime.
And Tua played well. And apparently, internet conjecture is like, this is one of the reasons why Atlanta liked him.
How silly is that?
Like, wow, he just came into town and kicked our ass. Maybe he's not that bad. It could be a good fit. So now two left-handed quarterbacks on the same team. This also opens things up. Now, I can't imagine Kyler Murray goes to the Jets. Why? So I think the Vikings have to grab him now. And Murray's got to
make that happen, Minnesota.
Yeah, the Vikings have got to get Murray now with Tua off the board.
Yeah, actually.
And Willis to Miami.
I have Tua to the Falcons as a negative.
Yeah.
I would downgrade them. Although I would think that Michael Penix has to beat him out, but maybe it doesn't go that way. And maybe, to your point, but Stefanski's a new coach there, but is this a call from up above again? Is he going to be dealing with the Cleveland Browns all over again because he wasn't the guy making calls there? And he won despite bad leadership in front of him and in charge.
I can't imagine what you watched the last couple of years, especially how bad he was in that offense without Hill. And it was all dink and dunk. And they're like, yeah, we got to have him. He's a good fit for us.
I know it. There's also this. Kwity Paye was taken with the 21st pick overall in 2020. I can't believe he's been in the league since 2021. Out of Michigan, the Colts took him. He agreed 20 minutes ago with the Raiders, 3 years, $48 million, $32 million guaranteed. So they have a lot of money. They're spending it today. They got Lindenbaum as well. They spent $81 million on him. And obviously that ties into getting rid of Max Crosby on Friday night, getting two first-round picks from Baltimore in return for him.
Imagine if someone makes a Godfather offer, too. That would be great.
Oh, I would.
I do it.
I would say
these guys are 50-50 that they're going to be good.
Totally agree.
I would absolutely trade that pick if I get a monster offer.
So would I.
Ask the Bears.
If that would, by the way, they're still benefiting because they got a second-round pick for DJ Moore.
Yeah.
So that trade doesn't end when they got all that in return for eventual number one overall pick in the draft, Bryce Young. If the Raiders would do that, I would say that they're one of the biggest winners of the entire offseason.
Mm-hmm.
So you're spot on.
You got to hit on the picks.
Have to.
That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the more kicks at the can you get, better chance you have.
Did you also hear that evidently the Patriots, they were thought to be in play for Max Crosby, but again, more like internet conjecture, if you will, that Brady wanted nothing to do with trading him to New England?
Yep. Putting him in Vrabel. Yeah.
Who knows? But overall, we'll get into that more this hour. It's been fast and furious pretty much the entire day, but the moves have been happening, including Kenneth Walker to Kansas City. More on that coming up in about a half an hour. So you look at all these conference tournaments, Paulie, the power leagues begin this week, and they are, different numbers at a lot of these different books. I'll give you two examples. Because if Duke and Florida are on the other sides of the bracket, I think they're going to meet and play for the national title. I don't see them, those two teams losing. I think they're the two best in college basketball. Duke was like around 330 to win the ACC at FanDuel and DraftKings. Circa last night, I looked, they were minus 510 on Duke. They lowered them before our show started, like minus 475. And the other one is Florida, around $1.80 to win the SEC. That'll be a little bit more difficult to win than the ACC, but Florida is just a machine right now. $1.80 FanDuel DraftKings in that neighborhood, 225 here at Circa.
I couldn't believe the $4 at DraftKings, and then Duke was higher than that here.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pretty much put them into the championship game
because
they'll play Carolina in the semis, and that won't be a problem.
Nope.
So it's just staggering, some of these numbers. Arizona's even money. You mentioned the Florida number as well. I have found that DraftKings has the best odds if you're looking for some value out there with most of these. And look no further than right down the street. Circa's got UNLV 25-1. They were 75-1 yesterday at DraftKings. So that's something you have to bet outside the state or outside the city, because UNLV is going to get Utah State in the early game in the 1-8, and they just beat them by 27.
Right.
So that really opens up the bracket. They've swept them, beat them again, and then this really, you have a nice ticket at 75-1 if they make the semis.
Yeah, the best number I could find here in Las Vegas was 50. And I thought that was a fair number. I have a small bet on UNLV at 50. I tried to get down at 25-1 in Colorado State as well. They offered me not a big bet. So I said, screw you. I'll go try and find it somewhere else. What I did is a two-team parlay. I parlayed Duke and Florida at minus 103.
How many places let you do that?
Caesars, FanDuel, DraftKings from tinkering around last night. That was it. I tried every book that I could.
Is to the limit?
I didn't try for more, so I don't know about that.
I tried, I wasn't having success.
If you like that parlay, minus 103 at Caesars, yeah. I mean, it's DraftKings was even money, FanDuel was like plus 102. But again, I didn't make the drive to Arizona. We don't have those books here. Boyd is basically FanDuel in Las Vegas, but Boyd doesn't offer anywhere close to the entire fan. It's weird. The FanDuel menu, I hope they do someday, but I could not parlay at FanDuel, had to do it at Caesars at minus 103. Who's beating Duke?
Can't see it. But then again, who was beating Navy? Navy beat themselves a little bit too. But that's what happens. That's why this is so stupid. And I don't know who the guy, I think he was with ESPN. He was on the Miami of Ohio call. He's a color analyst. He said it's been his mission for a month. He's going to every coach, every AD, and every conference commissioner and say, you are out of your mind if you are putting any one seed in peril in a quarterfinal. Just because it's a bad loss, and why open up yourself to that? And as Clark Kellogg said yesterday, he was so good. These conferences can do whatever they want.
Yes, they can.
You can get a bye to the semis. You can get a bye to the finals. You can just give the regular season champ the automatic bid.
Yep.
But for Navy, didn't lose a game for 3 months, and then BU got hot from three, and the kid, it's a half quarter to beat you.
Well, and oh, by the way, how about a little home cooking?
Well, you know, I know it was at Navy, reverse.
That's the thing. It was reverse home cooking.
The clock didn't start for 2 seconds.
And oh, by the way, so just so I hope people realize this, because a lot of people have said that if you go back and slow it down and realize that he would have gotten the shot off, here's the deal. What's the one thing the guard is looking at when he's bringing the ball up the court for BU? He's looking at the clock above the rim.
Ridiculous.
Honestly, he's staring right at the clock more than anything else. And if that thing is started when it was supposed to be started, there's a second or so. Maybe he takes a shot from half court. I don't know. But he's not going to take it where he took it from 32 feet out, and then he hit it. The entire that entire game changes potentially. And I probably think that Navy probably hangs on to get the win as well.
They got outscored by 33 points from three. I think they made two threes the whole game. They didn't lose for 3 months. They went 17-1 in league. Nope, sorry, guys. Go win three more. Doesn't count.
Nope.
Doesn't matter. Stupid.
It's so dumb.
Any event, Dayton plus 750, as I said earlier, at DraftKings. They just smashed St. Louis. St. Louis is reeling. They are really struggling now after they had such a great start to the season. That's the other thing. How many teams can keep this up? A lot of these teams peak too soon.
Oh, sure.
You know, I think Liberty's another one of them, too. Western Kentucky plus 750. UNLV, 60-1, still available at DraftKings. Western Kentucky Conference USA, by the way, plus 750. Akron, $1.15. there is a gap of 30 spots between Akron and Miami of Ohio and KenPom. That'll tell you what they think of Akron.
Minus 125 is a short. What'd you say?
There's $1.15 at DK.
Is there? Okay.
That's, and that's a, oh, and you man. Can find, I think it's at Caesars. You can find $1.10, $1.15 on the McNeese, what Paul Stone was talking about. They play tomorrow, a buy into the semis, conference tournament home floor.
I got plus 120 on them.
Oh, you good.
That's now moved, obviously. I'll give you another one. How on earth is UConn odds on to win the Big East?
I see it, though. The guy's such a good tournament coach.
Paul,
they'll travel.
That's fine. Yeah. They got beat by I mean, Marquette was, they got better as the season progressed, but I think St. John should be the favorite to win that league.
No, it's not his fault. Every time they lose, it's the officials.
How insufferable is he?
I know. It's really, it's the officials every time you lose, Danny? Every time? In any event, he's an unbelievable tournament coach, so I hope that's the title game and the Garden will be rocking. Teach his own. Juice Ring, Juice Reel links all your sportsbook accounts, imports your bets, and gives you automatic tracking and analytics, and it's free in the app. Everyone's bet history is synced directly from the books. No lying about profits. You're as good as your record says you are. They rank every bettor, and you can see exactly what the best bettors in the community have their money on. You can tail the picks, join in on the profits, and if you're sharp, you get paid when others follow your picks and win. Download Juice Reel today. It's free. Juice, like orange juice, R-E-E-L. Juice Reel. Get it now.
Some good games tonight in the NBA. Nick Whalen has been on fire with his player props on this show. We'll find out what he likes coming up tonight here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. It's March, which means the madness is officially upon us, and the folks at VSiN have gone crazy with this one. For $29.99, you get unlimited access to VSiN Pro through May 1st. I'm talking picks throughout the tournament, public betting data for every single game, sharp tools, projections, articles, and more. There's already a ton up on the site for Championship Week, which means every day you wait is an opportunity missed. Just click the link in the description to get started. It's March, baby. Now back to the show.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We'll hit the NBA card tonight with some player props and also National Football League Day 1 free agency. Right now we go out to the Progressive Guest Line. Nick Whalen joins the program. He is with RotoWire, co-host of Prop Points Daily at 1 o'clock Eastern Time right here on VSiN. Hey, Nick, you live in Wisconsin, so you know the Packers quite well, but you're also a Jacksonville Jaguars fan. Mm-hmm. I want to start there because they lost running back Travis Etienne today to the New Orleans Saints, who gave him a 4-year deal for $52 million. What was your gut reaction when you saw that news?
Well, I had been mentally preparing, guys, for Travis Etienne to walk out the door. Obviously, this breaks up the Etienne-Trevor Lawrence partnership that dates all the way back to their days at Clemson. And I've been a big Etienne supporter. You know, there was kind of a split coming into the season as far as whether Etienne would be traded. Would he be the lead back? You know, there was a time where there are a lot of people in the fantasy community were all over Bashaul Tutin and Tank Bigsby. And then, of course, he gets traded to Philly. But I thought Etienne did an incredible job of rehabilitating his value, because last year really felt like it could have gone either way, and now he's a $50+ million running back. And look, I think the Jags would have liked to bring him back at the right price. They were never going to match or exceed a $50+ million deal, so that is business in the NFL. Goes to a dramatically worse situation, in my opinion, in New Orleans, which was one of the worst teams in the NFL in terms of running the ball a year ago. I'm sure they'll be slightly better. I don't know that they'll be even close to middle of the league, so I don't necessarily love it from, you know, a 2026 fantasy perspective. But it leaves Jacksonville now with Bashaul Tutin and LaQuint Allen as the top two running backs on the depth chart. Maybe they do go in and, you know, bring in a veteran to supplement that, but a big missing piece for the Jaguars now in that offense. And we're starting to see rumors as well that they are digging in on some potential Brian Thomas trades.
Yes. What do you expect Seattle to do to replace Walker?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. And, you know, the guy that I had been hearing whispers about was Tyler Allgeier, who, of course, now has joined the Arizona Cardinals on a pretty team-friendly deal, I thought, you know, for a guy who has been playing behind Bijan Robinson, has always played well when given the opportunity. And, you know, they've kind of had a similar version to what Seattle was doing with Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. Now, obviously, Bijan Robinson, a much better back than either of those guys. But Tyler Allgeier has long been one of the best number twos in the NFL. And now he goes to Arizona, where they also just restructured James Conner. You still have Trey Benson. You still have Michael Carter. I love Tyler Allgeier, the player. I don't really understand that landing spot. I thought he would have been a nice little bridge running back for the Seattle Seahawks, who will get Charbonnet back at some point this year. But I mean, what are we talking? Week 8, week 9 at the absolute earliest? I don't think you can go into next season with, you know, George Halani as your RB1. So the options are starting to dwindle a little bit for Seattle. But I think they're telling us this is a clear de-emphasis on the running back position. They're reinvesting in that defense. They have deals on offense that they have to get done with some of these stars. So such is life, I guess, when you win the Super Bowl.
Also, another takeaway there is that the Cardinals, some steam there big time on Jeremiah Love to go third overall. Wasn't he 50-1, Paulie, down to like 5-1? Yeah. They're not taking him third overall now, are they?
I don't think so. I certainly don't think you go out and get Algier, structure James Conner, and then take a running back at 3 overall. Then, you know, the other interesting wrinkle too is like New Orleans, of course, goes out and gets ETN. They're picking 8th. Kansas City is the team that gets Kenneth Walker. They're picking 9th. Those were two of the more popular destinations for Jeremiah Love. So we are starting to, you know, eliminate some of those potential landing spots. I still think Tennessee at 4 could be in play. You know, we'll see about Washington at 7. I'm praying that it is not you know, one of these disaster type of situations, you know, among these bad teams. But you know, I think Jeremiah Love to the Chiefs to me was probably the most fascinating and the most intriguing of all the scenarios, but they've of course opted to go in a different direction.
How about the Niners giving Evans $60 million, and also it's not, doesn't look good with Trent Williams that they can't get close to a deal and might have to trade him.
Yeah, I mean, this is a couple times now in the last few weeks that they have essentially publicly put out information like, yeah, negotiations aren't going well with Trent Williams. It'd be a real shame if we have to trade him. So I still think there's some posturing going on here. You know, they probably don't want to trade Trent Williams. My guess is at this point in his career, he'd probably likely prefer to remain in San Francisco. But we'll see. I need to do a little more digging on the details of the Evans contract. I've been on air the last couple hours. I saw 3 years. I need to know what the guarantees are in the second and third year of that deal, because that seems kind of wild for a guy who's had as many health issues as Evans has, and of course his age at this point. But I like this on paper quite a bit for San Francisco, and this felt like Mike Evans having an opportunity to remain in Tampa Bay, you know, continue that connection with Baker Mayfield, and choosing what he objectively views as a better situation for him.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Nick Whalen, RotoWire. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. NBA tonight, 76ers, huge dogs in Cleveland. A couple of reasons why. One, there is no VJ Edgecombe. There's no Joel Embiid. Typically, Quentin Grimes, his points prop is, you know, floating around 12.5-ish for a game. But based on those two injuries tonight, or those two players being out, he's at 19.5 or 20.5. What do you think of his game tonight against Cleveland?
Yeah, that's the exact spot that I looked right away for this game. And obviously no Tyrese Maxey tonight for the Sixers as well. He's only missed 2 games all year. So that's really the big one. No Embiid, no Paul George. I mean, they're down basically 4 starters. If you look at the on-off numbers over at RotoWire, Quentin Grimes sees by far the biggest usage jump with no Maxey, no Embiid, and no Paul George on the court. And we're talking a sample of almost 300 minutes. So something that I think is representative, 26.4% usage rate in those minutes for Quentin Grimes. He's big jumps in scoring and assists in particular. So I jumped on the over 23.5 points plus assists. That was one that we talked about on Prop Points on the network earlier this afternoon. Really the only spot I like tonight for the 76ers, who are not playing well. They're playing poorly even with Maxey in the lineup, and likely setting up to get crushed tonight, I think, by the Cavaliers.
Yes. What do you want to do with the number keeps going up, even though the Warriors have some guys out, but the Jazz, whether they're making it up or it's tanking, several guys have the flu.
Yeah, I don't really know what's going on any night with the Utah injury report. Like, the NBA is trying to crack down, and yet Utah is, you know, still pulling these shenanigans every single game. I think it has to be a Warrior spot for now. I mean, things are getting a little tight for the Utah Jazz in terms of the race to the bottom right now. They are outside the bottom 4. They're only like 2 games up on Dallas and New Orleans all of a sudden. So they need to ensure that they definitely do not win this game. And I think that's what we're seeing with Ace Bailey and Keyonte George and Isaiah Collier all added to the injury report. You know, one prop that I would take a look at here, and I gave this out at plus 390 on our show. I'm now seeing it down to plus 265. How about a Brandon Pajemski double-double tonight for the Golden State Warriors, who also have Al Horford, Steph Curry, Moses Moody, and Kristaps Porzingis out? Kind of an ideal matchup against the Utah Jazz without those key pieces for Golden State. And we've seen Pajemski have some big counting stat games over the last couple of weeks without Curry.
A really fun game tonight. Not talking about Oklahoma City and Denver. I'm talking about Memphis and the Nets. And actually, you're going to attack this game, I think, a couple of different ways, yeah?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love a good tanking on tanking game. Yeah, we got the Grizzlies holding out pretty much everybody they're allowed to hold out right now on the front end of a back-to-back. Two back-to-backs this week for Memphis. So just be aware for some of those shenanigans. We have no Michael Porter Jr. He is resting for the Brooklyn Nets tonight. Obviously, neither team wants to win this game. Somebody is going to have to win the game. I'm looking to the prop market, and we got one for each side here. G.G. Jackson, we're going under 1.5 threes, minus 110 at BetMGM. He's gone under in five straight games, and he is facing a Nets team that, for as dreadful as they are defensively, guys, they allow the fewest three-point attempts in the NBA since the All-Star break. And then on the Brooklyn side of things, De'Ron Sharp, the backup center for the Nets, over 17.5 points plus rebounds. He has been a permanent monster whenever the opportunity has been there this season. Grizzlies dead last in total rebound percentage, bottom five in rebounds given up per game. And if you look at who's going to be out there tonight for Memphis, they have one healthy, true big man, one. And that is second-year Marquette product, Omax Prosper.
That is a terrific breakdown. Yeah. And you said 17.5 is still available on him?
Last I checked about 15 minutes ago, yes.
Okay, very good. You can follow Nick on X. He's at Whalen, but take out the letter L and replace it with the number one, at Whalen with the number one, with RotoWire and prop points every single day with Jeff Erickson at 1 o'clock Eastern right here on VSiN. Nick, thank you. As always, great stuff. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Nick Whalen joined us here on the Progressive Guest Line.
VSiN prop analyzer. Santos has gone over points, 7 in a row for the Warriors.
Super Spencer, hot.
Spencer's 6 straight unders rebounds, 6 straight unders made threes as well. And a ton of guys out in that game. Follow the Money brought to you by ProfitX. March Madness just got a lot more interesting with the ProfitX King of March giveaway. You can win free trips worth up to $10,000 just by betting the tournament. Win 10 pregame spreads or totals across the 67 games and hit your volume goal. Flights, hotels, wherever you want to go, ProfitX covers it. Every additional 10 wins gets you another shot. $1,000 in volume, you get the $5,000 trip. Hit $10,000, you get a $10,000 trip. Just download the app, code VSiNMM, VSiNMM, and start winning King of March only on ProfitX.
So you brought this up a little bit earlier. We'll get into the NFL coming up next. The Cowboys placed a, second-round tender on kicker Brandon Aubrey today. Another team that came to mind, I said Denver just because I selfishly want to see that guy kick in altitude. But another team that comes to mind, and we're getting feedback on this as well, is Green Bay.
Yes.
Doesn't it seem like Green Bay just has like piss-poor kicking every single year?
Yeah.
And the numbers don't lie. Even going back to some of those one seeds with Aaron Rodgers, the special teams were always a disaster.
Ventura. The guy's 90% career from 50-plus.
Yeah, I like that.
I would sign him and give up the second-round pick. He's just what a weapon.
Yep. We'll keep you abreast of all the moves today, some of the big ones that came in, NFL, day one free agency. And I have a betting takeaway or two with the World Baseball Classic coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Follow the Money is brought to you by ProfitX, and right now their King of March promotion is giving bettors a shot at free trips worth up to $10,000. Use the promo code VSiNMM to get started with ProfitX. Again, use that code VSiNMM and get started with ProfitX. So today is also day one free agency, National Football League. A bunch of different like sites and outlets. They have Trey Hendrickson as the number one free agent going into today. He hasn't signed anywhere yet. I know some people were thinking that Dallas would be the team, and then they went out and traded a fourth-round pick for Rashawn Gary today from Green Bay. Maybe Dallas could still put it together for Hendrickson. After all, they were trying to get Max Crosby on Friday by offering a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and a player, but the Raiders said that picks were more important, and they wanted a second first-round pick, and then that's what they eventually got from Baltimore, who, by the way, today, former Ravens center Tyler Linderbaum signed with the Raiders. Now, they absolutely need as much help as possible on the offensive line. If I had to watch Ashton Jeanty get the handoff and be hit by two or three different players 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage one more time last year, I was going to throw my TV. And so I would like retool the entire offensive line for the most part. Getting him today, he was ranked number 2 at ESPN. But $81 million over 3 years for that guy. It better work out.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said earlier, they have to hit their picks. That's easier said than done. Now, hit it with these free agents, and that's one move they made today that, you know, should pay some dividends immediately. Jalen Phillips was third overall. Edge from Philadelphia, 27 years old, entering the season, 6'5", and he signed with Carolina. That's a nice get for the Panthers.
Yep. I thought the Eagles were going to keep him. That's a disappointment, what happened there. That's a surprise. A lot of surprises in that division. What happened with Tampa, who lost Mike Evans, re-signed Otten, and then signed Gainwell from the Steelers. There was a lot of movement in that division, too.
I got to check the Buccaneers depth chart right now.
Yeah, because you got guys like that anyways.
Bucky
think.
Irving, Sean Tucker, yeah. Rashad. Yeah.
I don't know. Etienne to the Saints. Wandale Robinson to the Titans.
The Titans have been super active today.
They have been.
And they got two guys not named Wandale Robinson ranked in ESPN's top 10 today as well.
The Colts kept Pierce. They also they lost Pittman, who went to the Steelers. Many people have referenced this. I think it's true. Can we get a decision on Rodgers here? Well, do we need to look for a quarterback after we get a wide receiver? And, you know, Rodgers liked Gainwell. I thought he was the MVP. He was the MVP of the team.
Right.
So they lose him. Zaccheaus and Hooper went to Atlanta in addition to Tua. Oh, Anzalone also what Tampa grabbed. They grabbed him.
That's a nice
as
get.
Well. Yes.
I like that one. Right now on ESPN, on the Buccaneers official depth chart, in order for running back, it goes Bucky Irving, Kenneth Gainwell, Rashad White, Sean Tucker. Am I missing something here? Again, without even looking anything up, how is Sean Tucker a fourth string running back? Isn't he way better than that? Didn't that guy pop every time he had an opportunity?
Yeah. They gave him a shot against the Bills. He ran wild.
Yeah, he went crazy in that game.
Yeah. Maybe some guys are on the mood. Seems like they have too many guys back there. Yeah.
And so far in the offseason for the Rams, that's been one of the teams to move, along with Baltimore to win the Super Bowl.
Did they take a bet here? They're plus 650 to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they have moved. Well, that or else the fact that they're killing it so far in the offseason. And as I want to get the exact details here. Yeah, they signed Tremaine Edmonds. The Bears were planning to release him at the start of the league year. And they also got Jalen Watson, cornerback. So they add him to what they already acquired, earlier in the offseason from the Kansas City Chiefs. And that defense is looking much better as we speak. Malik Willis to Miami. ESPN ranked him 15th entering free agency. I would say it's a big unknown, but I don't like the landing spot because of, again, I said this earlier in the show, like the coaching staff is PU, not a big fan. And then good start for the Chiefs as well. So they're going to give, this is not the good part about it, but just to give you the overall details, Travis Kelce is 1 year, $12 million. And then they went and signed Kenneth Walker today, Super Bowl MVP, 33 carries of 10 or more yards, sixth most in the regular season. Also very good out of the backfield in the passing game. And what does your gut feeling say about Mike Evans to San Francisco overall and how it's going to work?
I think it'll work fine, but I'm with Nick about the particulars of the back end of the deal. To give a guy 3 years and $60 million when he's up there in age and 13 years in the league, not to mention tinfoil hat guy with the electrical substation too.
Yeah.
But a great fit for Purdy, and that seems like a good fit to me, and just got to stay healthy, though, as well. And then with Tua going to Atlanta, that takes another team out of the Kyler Murray mix, which I can't imagine he goes to the Jets, but you want to say Jets, Vikings. I think the Browns are going to go Sanders/Watson for what they do at quarterback. We're running out of teams where he could potentially land, too.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah, if they get a decision from Rodgers, right? That's not bad.
I would actually move on. If I'm Pittsburgh, put it this way. If Kyler Murray's people reached out and said he wants to sign with Pittsburgh, he wants to sign with you guys.
Right.
I would, at that point, just say, Aaron, you have 10 minutes to make up your mind. Let us know one way or the other because we want to sign Kyler Murray instead. Right? I mean, you can't do this to a team until the draft or after the draft every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can get a guy like they have to do something at the position. But we talked about this to begin the show as well. the Vikings are, did you say as high as 70-1 still to win the Super Bowl? I see 60.
Yeah, 60.
But also 100-1 for him to win the MVP on, I mean, if he goes to Minnesota, he'll be the starting quarterback on a team that has Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, at the time Jordan Addison, and a really good defense with Kevin O'Connell as the head coach. It's a pretty big number. On X earlier, somebody brought up maybe looking at the non-MVP, maybe looking at comeback player of the year for Kyler Murray.
Someone can take Jake Browning if they want. He's available. It's too bad what happened this, when he got his opportunity this past year. He was great. What was that, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
He was awesome in relief of Burrow, and they actually won 9 games. But he was so bad that he got benched when he was in there this past season, and they had to trade for Flacco. So maybe if he can find some magic, he's available. And the Bears brought Keenum back.
I was looking around earlier for a number on the Saints to win their division based on, again, I think it's a backwards move. If they bring in Tua, I would think that Penix could beat him out possibly, but not a big fan there.
Mm-hmm.
The Buccaneers were a non-playoff team last year. I think Carolina could be a non-playoff team this year. The Saints are a little bit higher than 4-1 to win the division. I'd like a little bit more than that, but why can't they? With the emergence of Tyler Shuck, they know that they have their guy at quarterback now. Day one today, they went out and got Travis Etienne. Maybe Kellen Moore is actually a pretty good coach, and the team was just an absolute stink bomb to begin the year. I was hoping to see like 8-1 on the board, which pipe dream, mm-hmm. I guess. But
well, I think that's better though. It's still a good division, competitive. That was I would need more than that too. They don't really think much about the Falcons with that win total. That's surprising. Even it's just the thinking is we can just dink and dunk and like we did with Cousins and find ways to mm-hmm. win.
I also liked
as they came on strong late when it was when they're already out of it. But and then what does Seattle do with the running back position? What a letdown that is! You win the Super Bowl, he's the MVP, and now he's gone.
Yeah,
I got to replace him now. Okay, that was fun.
Yeah. Also,
that's a great move by the Chiefs, though. Because their running game was non-existent the last couple of years.
You know what? Thanks to Paulie on X, by the way, saying that Edmund signed with the Giants. I think he's right. ESPN.com right now is showing Tremaine Edmund signed with the Rams.
No, it is the Giants.
Yeah, So I'm looking on their website right now. On their official free agency tracker website link, they have Edmunds going to the Rams. But I did see that earlier. I got confused. It is the Giants, to clean that up a little bit. So ESPN needs to correct that ASAP. Couple of observations from the World Baseball Classic. First of all, these atmospheres are incredible. More on that in about 10 minutes. But team totals over basically every game for USA and Dominican Republic.
Okay.
And I think there's only one book that has this up from when I was looking last night. It's FanDuel. With that off, and I have plus 460 on the Dominican Republic in pocket to win this thing. Not an easy out in that lineup. How about Caminero to win the MVP? He's around 16-1. Of this, he's absolutely smoking balls as we speak out of the park. And the other one would be Soto, who won the game the other day, Mercy Rule, and putting up good numbers in these games. He's like 18-1. That lineup is so good, and they're the two key cogs there. If they win it, I think one of those two guys should probably be the short shots because USA is so loaded, you're not going to get anything there. And then Otani's like the short shot, but I don't think Japan's going to win this thing. It's too bad that the regular season doesn't look like that.
They are into it. It's fun to watch, though.
It's great to watch.
The fans and players are really into this.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, I've seen enough. This team is playing for the title again this year. Do you concur? Next.
In history have begun with a question.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
And what kind of hair product does Mitch Moss use? But Follow the Money wants to know.
Do you concur?
Concur with
what, sir?
Do you concur?
All right, we'll mention this several times in the next couple weeks. Jay Williams, ESPN. Cinderella is dead. This year, non-conference play, high majors beat mid-majors 92% of the time on average of 22 points per game, way up the last 25 years. His thought process also is, if I'm a good player, I'm going to go get the bag at a major conference. Do you concur?
It kills me to say it. I do concur. This year, absolutely. Last year, the same thing. And I think it's probably going to keep trending in that direction based on exactly what you just said.
The guy I referenced earlier was Mark Adams, ESPN college basketball analyst, who's going around telling every AD and conference commissioner, at least get the one seed, a bye to the semis. Don't expect a Cinderella past the Sweet 16, or to make the Sweet 16, he said, based on all those numbers.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? Because kids getting paid now, and they're still, I mean, there are no rules. People can say that there are rules, but really it's still the wild, wild west, and it's going to be for the unforeseen future. So when you play at a mid-major, and you're good enough, and you're appealing enough to a power team, that's going to last, you're going to be one and done, and you're going to get that money, millions, whatever it's going to be. And that's how these teams are going to load up on it. And that's going to mean that that team's going to take a major hit and something that they probably can't replace anytime soon. And then that person becomes anywhere from the best player on their new team to like a bench guy. And so they can do that over and over and over again. Kentucky spent, they didn't get it right this year. Unfortunately for me, I have a future on them. It's absolutely toast, but they spent like $25 million on their roster this year. How are they going to compete with that? And eventually, teams that spend much money, they're going to get it all right. And oh, by the way, Duke's going to... Does Duke appear to be going anywhere anytime soon? Of course not. They're getting better, the way it seems, with Shire over Coach K. And so it kills me to say it, like I said, Paulie, but... And I hope I'm wrong, but I think he's onto something there.
It normally was 85% and 15 points per game.
Oh, wow.
It jumped to 92 and 22 a game. The other thing, I'm excited for that 16, 15, or 14 to win a game prop, because based on the upsets and how good the one and the twos are, I don't know if we're going to get an upset this year mm-hmm. early on.
Well, okay, so this is something that we've been screaming from the mountaintops before VEASAN was ever around. But it should be pretty obvious at this point, Paulie. Mid-majors must eliminate conference tournaments. Do you concur? Or they have to do something about
you
this.
You got to tinker it, yeah. I don't understand this thinking where you play 3 months just to seed and for nothing. And I mentioned earlier what happened to Navy. They didn't lose for 3 months. They won the league by 5 games. They went 17-1, and they lost on a buzzer beater in the semis after Boston BU was hot from three and the Gladden kid played out of his mind.
Right.
At the very least, you should get a bye into the semis. And the other thing is, you just look at it and what you can make if your team, best team, happens to make win a game or two in the tournament. What it does for enrollment, what it does for the money, and what it does for the conference. And you get to share in that money, too. I think it's backwards thinking and stupid what they're doing. Because you have no chance to get an at-large. Why play all these games for 3 months when it just comes down to this 2 or 3 day tournament, what your one seed could be? And we saw several one seeds go out, and I just think it's bad for business. Clark Kellogg did a great job yesterday after that had happened, saying these conferences can do whatever they want and determine whatever team they want to get the automatic bid, and they should look at that.
Yep. Jason Tatum has been back for 2 games, and I've seen enough. The Celtics are winning the East. Do you concur?
Well, he got off to a slow start, but I'm shocked at how many minutes and how well he's played. And it didn't help that the Cavs were 2 of 22 from 3 to start, but you still have the Harden albatross playoff time around your neck. The Knicks did beat them last year, but that was a big movement. Big move on Wemby MVP and a big move on futures with the Celtics after what Tatum showed in his first 2 games back.
Yeah, I was going to say that's next, actually. Even if you lose, taking some Wemby MVP, I mean, it's almost something that you have to add to the portfolio at this point. Do you concur? Or has the ship sailed because 20-1 is probably wiped out now?
Yeah, he's down to 2. Yeah, I see 12 at some spots now, too. But I still think they can catch OKC, and I would concur with that. OKC has the third most difficult remaining schedule, and you see how well San Antonio's playing and what the numbers he's putting up. They have the tiebreaker, and I don't think you can get there with Joker, and he can only miss one more game. I think you got to, if it's, you can still find that rogue number, you should take some. Based on how many games they're going to win and the sick numbers he's putting up. And if OKC, it's only a two-game lead in the loss column, and they have the tiebreaker. And I mentioned the tough schedule, and they might lose tonight. They have some guys out at home against Denver. We'll see the status of Murray later tonight.
The San Antonio Spurs are 15-1 since February 1st. They are number one in the league on offense, number four on defense in that time. Baltimore trading two first-round picks to the Raiders for Max Crosby is a win-win for both teams. Do you concur?
Yes, I do. The Raiders needed the picks and the help and more talent. They also have to protect the quarterback, whoever it's going to be. And Baltimore needed a pass rusher. They were 28th in pass rush win rate. They were near the bottom in sack percentage, sacks overall, and pressure rate. So with the window closing and Lamar getting up there in age, the comeback and concern would it be, I guess, given a guy a ton of money who's 30 years old. But I think that's a trade they had to make and a win-win for both teams.
Now it's on the Raiders.
Now they got to hit
with
the
these picks.
That'll be perfect to talk about with Adam Hill, who covers the team coming up.
Yep.
Because I know there was an issue under Gruden and Mayock.
Oh.
They have got to hit these picks, or you're just going to be like the Browns and the Lions were for 20 years, where you were picking top five every year.
Yep.
You whiffed on.
The Major League Baseball regular season will never be able to replicate the atmosphere at the World Baseball Classic. Do you concur?
No. I think... Okay, right.
Oh, playoff baseball is amazing.
Okay.
Regular season baseball.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like
hockey. It just, you can't compare anything to Olympic hockey in terms of ratings and betting handle and how people get fired up for it. And then once we get to the regular season, it's like, okay, who cares?
Here's the closest that it can come. Remember that season a couple of years ago when it was Ellie De La Cruz. He was called up. He was a rookie. And the Reds went on that long win streak in the middle of the summer when nothing else is basically going on. And that place was selling out, and the Reds have been bad for a long time, and they were going absolutely nuts. And they loved that team. They hit a ton of home runs, and they were super exciting to watch. I think that's what it takes. It's not going to happen with, like, the Dodgers because they're so good every single year. But if you get a crappy team who flies by expectations and turns into a playoff contender, that's going to be the closest thing. But the World Baseball Classic and what it means to the fans is incredible.
Well, this goes for every sport but football. The season's too long.
That's exactly another point, yeah.
What's the incentive, or why am I getting fired up for game 56 of 162
right,
if I'm a fan or a player? Noah Fant to the Saints. Not bad. Do anything for you? No?
Not really.
Bad. Okay. Follow the Money, brought to you by ProfitX, making March Madness more about just your bracket. It's the King of March and free trips worth up to $10,000 on the line. 10 pregame spreads or totals across the tournament. 67 games and hit your volume goal. That's what you have to do. 1,000 in volume gets you entered for a $5,000 trip. $10,000 in volume gets you entered for a $10,000 trip. Flights, hotels, your destination all covered. Rack up another 10 wins and earn another entry. What a promotion. And your code is VSINMM. Promo code VSINMM. Compete to become the King of March only on ProfitX. Go get it now. 10 plays wins $10,000.
All right, some tweets that we're getting right now. This is from Jason. NFL Memes put this out. Breaking news. Wendy's and former Raiders quarterback Geno Smith have agreed to terms on a four-year $15 per hour deal.
Yeah, he was mentioned to the Vikings. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
There's no way
they should do that.
This is from Tom. You can pencil this in. If Rodgers doesn't re-sign with the Steelers, they are going with Will Howard next year. If he's bad, they will address the position in a deep 2027 draft class.
Hmm. Okay.
Any intel there from your cousin?
No.
Paulie Howard?
Good. Not bad.
Not hearing anything, huh? Family's not talking still?
I've seen that before, that they're high on Howard. But that's also tough for McCarthy.
Well, then it seems like it's going to be.
Right in.
It feels like it's going to be Kyler to the Vikings. Like, that's it then, right?
Well, I always thought these two didn't get along in Green Bay, and now he's signing off on it and thinks, okay, if he wants to come back, that's strange.
I know.
Because Rodgers didn't think much of his coaching ability when they were in Green Bay.
Oh, he was outspoken about that.
Yeah.
And now I guess it's just going to be nothing to see here. We'll mend it and.
I'm with you, though. I call Kyler Murray. And if he gives me an answer, then I say, okay, sorry. That's it. That's our guy.
All right, tonight's college hoops card coming up next. LA 3.5 with a team that swept their opponent in the regular season and is simply better. I'll tell you who that is next.